There's the bell, and that means we're back. Welcome to this episode of SC Charter Chatter, a podcast dedicated to charter schools across South Carolina. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Kevin. We are presented by the Public Charter School Alliance of South Carolina. A really great episode for you today, so let's get to it. Hey, before we get to our guest today, make sure you're registered for this year's 23rd Annual Charter Schools Conference. It's going to be December 6th through 8th on Hilton Head Island. Our theme this year is Celebrating Success, Inspiring Change. It's always a great time to gather charter school supporters and school leaders from across the state. We look forward to seeing you there.
All right, you heard it there in the intro. Our 23rd Annual Charter Schools Conference is just around the corner. And today, I am excited to give you guys a little sneak peek at a few things you'll get to experience at that event. And man, it's hard to believe this association has been putting on this conference for nearly 25 years. It's going to be a great time. Make sure you register, and we will see you in Hilton Head in a couple of months. All right, today's episode, we're going to get to know our keynote speaker for that event. Tara Brown, known as the Connection Coach, has been bringing her message of positive connections to audiences around the world, and soon she'll be coming to South Carolina. Tara, thank you for joining SC Charter Chatter.
Oh, Kevin, I'm so stoked to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. I'm excited to share more about the work that you do and give people out there just a little bit of taste, a little taste of what you'll bring to the conference. So let's jump right in, Tara. All right. So just right from the start, tell us about your background and kind of how you got here.
Well, I started teaching and coaching in 1985, and my career took me from rural Florida to gang territory in California and back to Tennessee, one of the largest high schools in the state. And throughout that whole entire time with all those different demographics, it really gave me the opportunity to figure out how to best connect with kids, how to flip the motivational on switch, what do they need in order to come into that classroom with their brain primed for learning. And when I decided to leave the classroom and talk to more adults so that I could reach more kids and we could have a greater reach and support them more, I had to get really clear on what it was that made me successful in the classroom. And Kevin, it just kept coming back to relationships. It kept coming back to how that child felt when they walked in the door around me, around their peers. And in the research that I've done over the many, many years, neuroscience is clear that we are feeling beings that think, and how we feel from moment to moment drives everything, motivation, engagement, all of it. And so when I started speaking, I knew that the foundation of my work had to be around bringing more awareness to how human beings thrive with healthy connections and how those connections can absolutely change the trajectory of a child's life.
And I think that's why I'm really excited about having you there at the conference in December, because I often say that charter schools have a connection with the students, with the families that they weren't getting elsewhere. And so they've been able to kind of change that mindset and make that connection. So I'm really excited about hearing more about that. So we mentioned earlier, your work is taking you to locations throughout the country, across the globe. So share your experience of speaking to audiences and what motivates you to do it all over the world. I think you touched on it there, but kind of expand on that.
You know, when I left the classroom, I was very clear that I was going to be of service and that I was going to go where I was called. And I have just allowed for that process to be very organic. And I had the opportunity in 2009 or so to go to Dubai and speak at a conference there. And that led me to Beirut. And it really comes back to helping adults have a clearer understanding of how to reach kids. And the cool thing in my experiences around the globe is kids are kids are kids. It doesn't matter the zip code. It doesn't matter the demographic. It doesn't even matter the continent, because as human beings, we have that innate desire to feel seen and heard and validated. And regardless of where we are on the planet, when those needs are met by caring, loving, nurturing adults, great things happen in the lives of kids. So being able to sit in front of people in California or Lebanon, it's a blessing and an honor for me to just give teachers and administrators and organizations more tools and more understanding about how best to help them flip the motivational on switch with the kids that they're working with, regardless of the age or location.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Tara, how have these diverse experiences influenced your perspectives on education and the power of positive connections with youth?
I think it really opened my mind to a different level of compassion and empathy and a willingness to, number one, not judge a child by the chapter that I walked into, but to be willing to find the story behind the story. I think probably when I'm working with staff and we talk about the willingness to find the story behind the story, because we all show up in a way at times that's not really the real story, the real situation, what's really going on behind the curtain. And if we can step back and not have a knee-jerk reaction to a behavior or a situation and just come from that place of, I am really wanting to understand what is driving the behavior of this child. I really want to stay in that place. When I was in California and I'm learning about gangs and the Crips and the blood, and I'm realizing that I've literally got kids walking to school risking their life because they're a Crip and they're having to walk through blood territory to get to school, that's a whole other level of understanding for me coming from where I came from to say, okay, that's a whole other level of stress and cortisol and amygdala hijacking that can happen. And when I talk about you can't read a book and run from a lion at the same time, I think when adults are willing to really understand what are the lions that this child is running from in their lives, that level of willingness, it opens up paths of communication and trust for a child to realize they're not being judged, but you have this adult who really is trying to understand what is driving this situation.
Genuinely understanding, genuinely caring.
Truly.
To make that connection. Absolutely. Wow. All right. So you've been recognized as a leading expert in helping adults build powerful connections with today's young people. What are some of the key strategies or maybe principles that educators and organizations should keep in mind when they're aiming to connect with students?
You know, I think you've been in this business for a really long time and you've seen a lot of shift when it comes to the focus on end of course testing and all of the craziness that we've experienced. And I think one of the number one things is being willing as a leader in the building, as a staff as a whole, to put kids before content. If we can help organizations trust the research enough to put kids before content, that is one of the very first philosophies that I encourage organizations to embrace. And it does come down to trusting the research, because a lot of teachers are scared about all the content they have to cover and what the pacing guide says they should be doing on this particular day at this particular time. And they get in the muck when it comes to end of course testing and data and all of that. And all of that's very important. But when kids feel like they're more than just a body in a desk, when they feel like the entire staff is really wanting to see them as an individual, that is one of the biggest shifts. When I can help an organization as a whole close their car doors every day and say, we are going to put kids before content. And the other thing, probably just as important, there's a lot of things in education that we cannot control. And there's a lot of craziness that comes down from the educational mountaintop that we all just sit there and go, are they kidding?
Right.
That we can't control, but we can control the energy that we bring into the space. We can control the impact that we as individuals want to make on other people in the organization on a moment-to-moment day-to-day, conversation-to-conversation level. And when we have the intentionality that says, how do I want to impact the organization? What environment do I want to help create for these kids? Because the emotional safety ties directly into academic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So when a child walks into the front office and the front desk secretary is slinging dopamine and flashing the pearlies and welcoming them, even though they're 17 minutes late for the second time that week, she's letting that child know, I'm just glad you're here. Welcome. Let's get you to class. When he feels that teacher glad to see them, or the janitor as he walks down the hallway, those things are things that we can control. And it all plays into creating an environment that is optimal for flipping that motivational on switch with kids who often don't even experience that at home.
Right.
And so the blessing that we can give them of, I can trust the environment that I'm going to experience when I walk into that school, when I walk down that hallway, when I walk into that front desk area, I can trust it. That allows for the emotional safety. So helping an organization really be intentional about what is the atmosphere that we're really wanting to create to allow for those kids to feel emotionally safe every single day.
And I think charter schools are really set up to just be what you have, you know, kind of described since we've been talking here, making connections with students and families, finding that balance between people, whether it be students, families, coworkers, what have you, balance between that and the data and the curriculum, and then creating an atmosphere, a culture that just is positive and creates, makes everyone better, I think is what we're saying here. So I just feel like charters are really set up to be that, a little bit maybe easier even than, you know, traditional publics. Anyway, all right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to absolutely agree with you. I think there's a little bit of more freedom.
Sure.
And that's what's so cool when you're in a charter school environment and you really have the entire staff get that and say, you know, we're just going to crush slinging dopamine. We're just going to crush making sure that when a kid walks into this school building, into this front area, into our hallway, that they're going to dig it. They're going to feel seen and heard and validated, and they're going to like the way that experience feels to them, because that right there is helping the cortisol level come down. And that's one of the keys to moving the academic needle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. All right, Tara, so in your extensive career, you worked with, you mentioned it, at-risk teens, helped reshape their view of the future. Expand on the importance of leadership and life skills and empowering young individuals and steering them away from negative influences, especially in a diverse educational settings.
That's a really great question. And I think one of the most profound moments in my entire career was when I had a 15-year-old child in Long Beach, California, who was third generation gang member, look at me and say, why do I care about any of this? I'm not going to live to be age 21 anyway.
Wow.
And when you have a child whose life experiences up to that point has created a belief that this is what their life destiny is, and they've totally accepted it, it was very profound for me. And it really began a part of my work with kids to help reframe their view of what was possible for their future. And part of that directly ties into the level of connection I had with a child and how much trust I could build with them so that they even cared that I was talking, let alone what I was saying.
Right.
Because when you're trying to tell a child, no, this doesn't have to be what your life looks like, when their whole entire life that they've accepted and this is what it is and I'm fine with that, then you've got the relationship piece. And research is very clear that hope changes brain chemistry. And so when you're able to infuse hope into a child's life and you're able to help them identify some of those things in them that are unique to them, you know, Search Institute calls them sparks. When you're able to help a child identify their sparks, that's one of the things that could absolutely change the direction of their thinking and their belief in what is possible. And you know that a lot of kids embrace learned helplessness by the time they're 3 or 4 years old if their life is in absolute chaos. And so part of our work is to help them understand, no, you are the CEO of your life. You are the one that gets to make the decisions about what happens next in your life. And when you start having those conversations with kids after you build that relationship with them and the trust is there, then you can start planting those seeds. And when you start helping them understand that the leadership within themselves is more powerful than they ever knew, all of a sudden, their perspective of what's possible starts to change a little bit. And so helping instill in kids that belief that it could look differently, helping them identify some of the things within their life that they're good at, that they're passionate about, that lights them up, all of those things play into planting the seeds of beginning to craft a different future story. And I'm telling you, when you are able to help a child experience those different thought patterns and begin to see a different future, it's just unbelievable to see how they can blossom and how they show up differently on a day-to-day basis.
Man, I'm getting jacked up right now just having this conversation. I can't wait for you to be there later this year. I just think our educators are such an important piece in a child's life. And we've said that before. That's not new, saying anything that we don't know. But when you put it in those terms like you have, it really gives me almost goosebumps to think about the way that educators can change the lives of students and maybe even families to that degree. All right. So your organization, Learner's Edge Consulting, has been instrumental in providing guidance and education to youth organizations. Could you tell us a little bit more about the specific services and resources you offer to help strengthen these organizations, one connection at a time, as you say?
Sure. I do a lot of PD. I work with district level personnel. I work with administrators. I do professional development for support staff and for teachers. And, you know, I tell leaders all the time, I'm not a plug and play speaker. I work really, really hard to spend some time on the front end getting clear on what the pain points are and the stressors are and what a win looks like for that day or that period of time that I'm collaborating with them and really craft a program and a training that hits directly to what they need. And so it is a collaboration and it is a relationship that I form with my clients that often lasts years and years and years. I do consulting. I've got right now 2 full-time year-long consulting contracts, and that allows me to engage in different ways, which is so awesome because it uses different parts of my brain and my energy and my passions. And it might be anything from coaching new teachers or supporting, you know, those teachers who don't have a teaching degree but got certificates and it was a fast track because we need more bodies in there. And some of them are lost as Easter eggs. And sometimes just having support and having people they can bounce ideas off of. And so we might jump on a Zoom call and spend a few minutes and let them ask questions or whatever. It might be that we're trying to change the culture and climate of an entire district or a specific school. And I might go in and spend a day and do a culture and climate assessment. So there's a lot of different ways that I engage and collaborate with groups. And it really does all come back to, what is the environment that we're working in and how do we feel when we close that car door and what can we do to better create that environment so that not only the kids, but the adults are being fed. You know, I saw a sign one time and I was walking into a meeting and it said, please be responsible for the energy that you bring into the space. And that right there, Kevin, is probably one of the most powerful things that as adults we can do every day to commit to is, am I contributing to a positive environment? And for the groups that I work with in whatever capacity, that's always a central thing because it all comes back to the individual that then collectively create something either really great or an environment that needs more work.
Yep, absolutely. And you mentioned it before, controlling those things that we can control. A lot of things we can't, but making sure that we control those things that we can control every single day. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So you've been around education for a long time. So what challenges do you see, do you believe charter schools currently face, and how can they benefit from you, maybe your expertise in building connections and understanding young people's perspectives?
You know, the charter school environment, it's always, there's always a challenge of getting kids to choose your charter school.
Right.
And then keeping them.
Right.
And keeping the numbers up. That's always a huge piece of what administrators and leaders are dealing with. And that is a direct connection to exactly what we've been talking about. What do those parents experience when they walk into a charter school that they're thinking about enrolling their kid into, or they call on the phone? I can't tell you how many phone calls I make across this nation, and I'm both very encouraged and very disheartened at times.
Sure.
When I experience the person answering the phone. And so it comes down to those things, as small as, but very important. Is that person smiling when they're talking on the phone? Can I experience a level of they're really dialed into my needs? And so for charter schools, it can really truly start from that initial phone call of a parent deciding I might go down and take a visit to this school. And that phone call really made me feel good. That lady or that man that answered the phone really was attentive to me. I really felt like they were dialed into me. And so when you're talking about a charter school needing to have bodies in there and keep them there, it is directly connected to, on a day-to-day basis, are we helping our kids feel seen and heard and validated? Are we supporting the families and getting to know the families in a way that they feel like it's not just another body, we're glad you're here, but we are here for you and how can we serve you? And, you know, charter school organizations have a little bit more flexibility, and that's the beauty of that environment, is that we try some things. We can kind of think outside the box. We can destroy the box if we want to at times.
That's right.
And I've seen some really great charter schools do exactly that. Let's, you know, if the shoe fits, let's change shoes. Let's do it different. Let's look at it different. Let's, you know, kill the box and just see what happens once we have that level of freedom. And so the creativeness and the willingness to be brave enough to try some things is another thing that I think for charter schools is just really cool, because there is that level of freedom that oftentimes in public schools you don't have.
100%. I'm just going to leave it at that. 100%. All right. Wrapping up here, Tara, as a keynote speaker coming up at our conference in a couple of months here, or really just about a month here, can you give us a peek into the key insights or messaging that you'll be sharing with our educators and administrators in South Carolina? What can attendees expect from your presentation? Don't give away too much, but a little bit here.
Great question. It's funny. People often say, oh, I can't wait to hear you speak. And a lot of times I'll say, I can't either. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. So the thrill of getting up there and just letting it rip is part of what I love. I've been doing this a long time, but every group is different. And, you know, I always ask before I get on stage, I just have a quiet moment. And I always ask that the words that those people in the audience need to hear, they're able to hear and that I'm able to bring forth. But, you know, Kevin, you and I probably both can agree. We've sat through some really painful PD and some painful keynote speeches. So one of the things I vowed when I decided to start doing this is, you know what? It ain't going to be boring. So I have a lot of fun.
Love it.
I have a lot of fun. And a lot of it, a lot of the focus is truly going to be on helping it come back to the individual. And part of what we talked about is, how is my presence in the organization impacting the organization and those around me? From the kids to the parents to the colleagues to the support staff and everybody in between, you know, what is the ripple effect of our leadership footprint? And we're all leaders in some capacity. And Peggy Milan says, we never touch another so lightly that we do not leave a trace. And so part of what I'm going to be talking about is, are we really focused on what trace do I want to leave on that person, whether it was a 2-second interaction or a 5-minute conversation? Because since the pandemic, we're still trying to figure out what new normal looks like. We're still trying to recalibrate our interactions with one another. And our kids are more stressed and they're more anxious. And the connection piece and how we interact with one another is crucial. And so I'm going to talk a lot about slinging dopamine, being world-class dopamine slingers, and and bringing forth that energy that uplifts people and really contributes to a positive environment that we all want to go to on a day-to-day basis. So I am stoked. I can't wait. If I can get on a plane today, I'd be there tomorrow. So yeah, we're going to have some fun for sure.
Well, Tara, thank you. This has been a fun conversation, and I can't wait to have you at the conference in December and for you to share that inspiring message with our charter school community in South Carolina. Thank you again for joining SC Charter Chatter, and we're going to see you shortly.
You got it, Kevin. Thanks so much, and thank you for what you do on a day-to-day basis in your leadership capacity.
That wraps up this episode of SC Charter Chatter. My thanks again to our guest, and many thanks to you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to SC Charter Chatter so you don't miss our next episode when we highlight another charter school and charter school leader from around the state. As always, thanks for listening and the all-around support. Be sure and follow us, and don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think of the show. Our email is podcast@sccharterschools.org. You can also share topics or ideas for the show. Again, podcast@sccharterschools.org. Be sure and follow us on our socials at SC Charter Schools, and remember to use the hashtag #MyCharterSC. Until next time, I'm Kevin.